Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
November 11th, 2008, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, can photographers really take vacations? Well, welcome back, or maybe you might be saying welcome back to me, because as you probably already figured out, I was absent last week. I was on vacation, and I didn't know for sure if I was going to be able to do a podcast or not. I try to, you know, it's one of those best intentions situations where you bring the little portable recorder and everything and go, yeah, I think I can, you know, do a podcast while I'm in Maui. I'm pretty sure that I can crank one out and then, get it uploaded and do all that sort of stuff. So I did have great intentions but I was sort of teetering. And then, sure enough, just to make sure that it didn't happen, the digital story site, someone tried to break into it and got a hold of the password and all that sort of stuff. And so then my system administrator had to, you know, shut everyone out, including me, while he tried to figure out what was going on there. And so then even if I had recorded the podcast, which I'm sure I would have, I didn't have any way to upload it. So I had to put myself in vacation mode. Now, those of you that follow the site online, the weblog, you'll know that I posted some pictures and continued, doing a weblog post. So, I wasn't on total vacation. I just didn't get the podcast up. But I'm back now, and I was thinking, maybe I should talk about this phenomenon that I go through every year when I try to take a real vacation. And that's why I asked the questions. Can photographers really take vacations? Now, I travel a lot, but most of the traveling that I do, the great bulk of the traveling that I do, is for work. It's to speak at a conference. It's to teach. It's to go as a reporter, the job happens to be. And I get to go to some terrific places, and I always try to carve out some time so that I can enjoy the place too, so I'm just not traveling from Hyatt Hotel to Hyatt Hotel. But then on top of that, once a year or so, I try to take like a real vacation where I go somewhere that I don't have work. I'm just going to be like a normal person. And so that was last week, and I went to Hawaii and Maui. And beforehand I go, all right, now I've been there before, and I know the lay of the land. So how am I going to pack my stuff so that I can actually not be thinking about taking pictures the whole time I'm there? Now, if most of you that listen to this are photographers, some of you that listen to this are also, have photographers as friends or maybe a spouse or something. So you're going to really, be able to relate to this. When you're on vacation, you don't want to be working. And what I mean by that is that when you're in photographer mode, you have your radar going the whole time. You know, you're like, you know, your eyes are like, you know, like scanning the horizon looking for a good shot, because you don't want to be in some exotic location and miss the shot of a lifetime. You'll never live it down, right? You'll just kick yourself from now to the end of time. So you sort of always stay on. It's like, you know, like the cat sleeping, but his ears are up, you know, and they're kind of scanning the surroundings there. Well, in my opinion, that's not really a vacation. And then if you're with someone, you can make them crazy. They'll just go nuts, because the other person, especially if the other person isn't a photographer, maybe they just want to go to the museum. Maybe they don't want going to the museum to be a documented slideshow where at the end of the day, then, you know, then there has to be some production and where you have to have opening shots and closing shots and shots of specific artifacts in the museum and shots of people looking at the stuff and then maybe some self-timer shots, some existing light shots, maybe bring a tripod, you know. And if you're the other person who just wants to walk through the museum and maybe look at pictures and paintings and stuff, that's not a very fun thing. So a while back, I decided that, okay, when I go on vacation, sure, I'm going to take some pictures because that's just the way it is. But I also want to be a normal person. So how do I do that? So this time, preparing for the trip to Hawaii, I thought, well, I can do that by just, you know, deciding what gear to bring and more importantly, what gear to leave behind. So I always take, when I go to a warm water destination, my little Canon SD700 IS compact camera because I have an underwater housing for that. And so that's my little camera for when I go snorkeling and are splashing around in the ocean and things like that. So I always have that with me. But the nice thing about having a camera, a compact camera that has underwater housing, is that it's also a compact camera that just, you know, fits in your pocket. So I thought, okay, that'll be my camera that I just slip in my pocket when I'm going to go for a walk or go out to dinner or do something like that, so that I have something with me if something interesting happens. And sure enough, invariably, there's a great sunset or something happens, you know, while you're out, not really intending to take pictures, and really glad that I have the little camera with me. So, but the thing is about the little camera, as we all know, it only shoots in JPEG mode, which every year becomes a more difficult thing for me, and never had it been as difficult as this year. And in fact, I even posted about it because I'm so used to shooting in RAW all the time now that I know what the sliders are supposed to do in Aperture or Adobe Camera RAW. So if I go to vibrancy, for example, I know how the image is supposed to react. But that's with RAW files because there's a lot more information there. So things happen more subtly and they look better and all that sort of stuff. So I start loading up these JPEGs that I'm shooting while I'm out bopping around, and I start moving the sliders like I normally would to enhance the image, and the thing just looks terrible. Just looks like, what's wrong? Is there something, you know, and you're looking at the camera, is there something wrong with my camera? And no, it's the JPEG files. They don't have that same robust nature, and you can't just, you know, move vibrancy sliders around and things like that the way you can shadow recovery and highlight recovery, all that sort of stuff. Just there just isn't enough water in the well for those things to behave the way that we're used to when we're shooting with RAW. But at the same time, I don't, you know, want to carry, you know, my G9 with me or maybe a light digital SLR all the time, because I'm afraid that that's going to put me dead square in photographer mode all the time. So I say, okay, so I'll bring the little Canon SD700. And then for those times that I really do want to take shots, I'll bring the 5D, the digital SLR, which is basically my heaviest camera with the biggest lenses. So I thought, okay, I'll go to, you know, like both ends, you know, of the extremes here. And then that way, if I'm going to be in photographer mode, then I have to be really serious about it because, you know, you just don't casually lug around a 5D and a big 70 to 200 millimeter lens, you know, walking around the island, unless you're really going to take pictures. You don't pull that bad boy out for, you know, a stroll on the beach. So that was my plan going into it. And, you know, basically, it was a pretty good plan. In fact, I didn't even pull out the 5D out of the case until like the third or fourth day that I was gone. I think it was the third day that I was gone before I finally took some shots with it. And so it did kind of keep me, you know, away from working, you know, working with quotes around it, because, you know, I had to really, you know, want to take serious pictures if I was going to pull that out. So that part of it worked. Now, the other part of it that didn't work for me was, you know, in the compact camera only having JPEGs. I think I'm about through with that. And in fact, so much so that I'm thinking for my, before I go on my next trip to a warm water destination, I'm going to get an underwater housing for the Canon G9 so that I can shoot raw underwater, which I just think would be a huge help on correcting those images. And also, so that I, you know, maybe I'm going to have to just buck up and carry the G9 around instead of the little SD700. Now, you might be sitting at home thinking, well, you know, what, oh, poor baby, you know, is the G9 too heavy for your shoulder? Well, no, it's not really that. But, you know, the thing about the G9 is, and believe me, this is a camera that I love. I love this camera. But when I'm somewhere like, let's say, Hawaii, and it's 86 degrees, and I'm walking around with just maybe bathing trunks on and a t-shirt and flip-flops, believe it or not, there's really nowhere to keep the G9. It doesn't fit in my bathing suit pocket, doesn't slide in there the way the little SD700 does. I don't really want to carry it around on my shoulder, and especially when the sun's real hot, and you know, and you're always around sand and stuff. So I don't, and then you don't really have a place to put it, right? So let's say you sit down on a beach towel. Well, where do you put the G9 exactly? So believe it or not, it is just a little too big for just kind of staying in that vacation frame of mind. Whereas if you just have a little compact in your pocket, then you know you don't really think about it unless you need it. But I think I'm just going, you know, the raw thing is just killing me, and not having raw for my underwater shots, and not even having raw for, you know, a lot of the casual shots that I want to take, especially on the edges of the day and so forth, where I want to pull something out of the shot that is just hard to do in JPEG. So I haven't solved the problem yet. I haven't solved the problem of being a photographer on vacation, because you can just tell from this conversation right now, this monologue right now, that, you know, my brain is still kind of going, you know, all the time. And I haven't been able to completely let go. But I have to say this, it's something, we have to fight the good fight. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why we have to fight the good fight and try to force ourselves to actually take part of a vacation when we're on vacation. One, we have to fight the good fight for if we're traveling with other people. Because other people that aren't photographers, you can really become a drag. And you don't want to do that. So what I've done in the past is I said, okay, this time I'm just going to be, you know, this morning I'm just going to be a tourist, and we'll just hang out and do what we're going to do. And then maybe around 5 o'clock tonight, I'm going to take off, and I want to go over to the spot that I saw before and take the camera and do some shooting, then I'll be back for dinner. That kind of thing, where you actually designate times to be a photographer and not just be a photographer driving the other person crazy all the time. So that's number one. Sort of choose your battles, right? And try not to be a photographer all the time. Number two, I think that sometimes, even though we really love photography and it's in a lot of our bloods, we just have to, you know, mentally take a break from it. And so number two is for you, you know, just, you know, have yourself covered so that you have a little compact or something in your pocket so you don't completely miss a shot if something comes up. But don't feel like you have to have your best camera with you all the time when you're traveling, because I think it keeps you in this alert mode where you never really get to have a vacation. And in that sense, I think that's sad. I think sometimes it is the best thing to do just to sit by the pool and space out and, you know, watch the clouds go by in the sky without feeling the need to take a picture of them. So you have to do it for yourself also. So those are the two things. Now, here's the third thing that sort of comes into play. Do you or do you not bring the laptop? The laptop. And, you know, if you're traveling with somebody, boy, the minute you pull the laptop out of the bag, you can just see their expression. Oh, great. Now you're going to work. I thought we were on vacation. You guys know the spiel here. On the other hand, I think it's really a lot of fun to enjoy my photos on the vacation and not have to wait till I get home to start playing with them. And in part, I mean, part of this is just practical because once I get back from vacation, I have everything else piled up. I got a whole bunch of email. I got a whole bunch of folks looking, you know, to get stuff from me. I'm behind. And so I'm probably not going to be able to get to my pictures. Whereas when I'm on vacation, I have a lot more time. And especially in the evenings, I think it's kind of fun to just, you know, relax after dinner, pull up, you know, load up the shots from your on your laptop from the day's shoot. Go ahead and rate them because you can, you know, enjoy them and rate them at the same time. Maybe add a little metadata. I posted on Twitter because of the underwater photography, that I was spending some of my off moments, even while I was waiting at the airport to come home, looking up fish for captions for, you know, some of my favorite shots that I had captured underwater. And I actually got a lot done on this trip by bringing a laptop. Now, what I tried not to do, other than posting my weblog post to the digital story, was do work. And, you know, that's where you sort of have to kind of figure out what you're comfortable with and what the people that you're with are comfortable with. So one way to do that is not to do internet connection, right? So, you know, not pay the $12 a day to plug into the hotel internet. Or if you have a satellite card or something, leave it in the bag or whatever. But by not going on the internet, then you can't really check email and get embroiled in things that maybe you shouldn't be getting embroiled in on vacation. Now, of course, the exception is folks that just get a lot of email. Then, you know, sometimes it's just easier to go through and just, you know, kind of filter it while you're on vacation so you don't have 800 emails waiting for you when you get home. You only have 200. But, it, you know, a lot of folks, that isn't the situation. So, you know, bringing a laptop but not connecting it to the internet is one way to use it for good and not for evil. Another thing, and not everyone has this luxury, and I understand that, but I have a couple laptops. And so a small one that I have is a little MacBook, a little Apple MacBook, that is fairly recent and has 4 gigabytes of RAM in it, and it's, you know, fairly powerful for a MacBook. So it's fine for photo editing. It runs Aperture, it runs Photoshop, it runs Lightroom and Bridge, all the stuff that I need. And so then just by bringing that, but it's not, it doesn't have all my work on it. You know, it's just kind of a little travel laptop. And so I travel with that, and that keeps me sort of focused on photography and not looking at all my work documents that are there because they're not there. They're on a different computer. But again, I understand not a lot of folks have the luxury of having a separate laptop just for travel. The other reason why I like the little MacBook is that it is small, and even though that small screen's not as convenient for working with photos, it's good enough, but I can open it up in tight quarters, such as on the airplane and buses and things like that. So it's handy for that also. So I've come to the point where I consider the laptop a good thing, but, you know, you have to kind of lay down the ground rules for yourself on how you're going to use it. But when I came back from this trip, I had organized all of my photos that I shot, and so they all had star ratings, and I had added metadata to the ones that were, you know, the higher ratings, the things that were, you know, 3 and 4 stars. And I was in pretty good shape. I was able to come home and just like generate a slideshow and burn it to DVD right away because I had done all that other work. And for me, it was a fun thing. It was a fun thing being able to look at photos in the hotel room. It was a fun thing, to sort of enjoy them. It sort of made me get more immersed in the vacation itself. So I would say then, if you have a laptop and if you're traveling with people and they sort of think that you're going to use a laptop for evil, if you set some ground rules with it and say, hey, you know, this is mainly so, you know, we can look at and enjoy photos. And I promise not to be on the laptop, you know, all night. And I promise not to get embroiled in work and so forth. But I would like to play with my pictures. I don't think it's a horrible way to go. Now, if that doesn't work out for you, or if you don't have a laptop, then of course there are other ways, including just bringing a whole lot of memory cards and, you know, just looking at your pictures on the back of your camera, but putting in a fresh memory card every day, bringing home all the memory cards. That route is fine, except then you still have all that photo work to do when you get home. And you better hope that, you know, your other work hasn't piled up too much, or you may never get to those images. You'd be like my mom back in the film days. My mom, she would have a camera, you know, with a 24 exposure roll of film in it, and that thing would have like two Christmases on it, two Thanksgivings, a couple birthdays, a graduation. By the time she finally took that film in, you know, it would like span 2 years of life. So, you know, you don't want to be like that. You don't want those memory cards to stack up on you. So I would say, you know, thumbs up on the laptop, use it for good. You know, set some parameters around it. But then that way you can enjoy your pictures on the road. Now, the last point I have around this, and this is regardless if you shoot still pictures or video, especially if you shoot video, don't document every moment of the vacation. For the love of Pete, please don't do that. Oh, I see these. And it's almost always the guys that do this. I don't know why. Maybe this is a way they, you know, maybe they're hiding behind the video camera so they don't have to interact with their family. I mean, it could be one of those sort of things. But I see these people and they are just documenting everything. They're documenting the kids getting out of the car and going to the bathroom at the gas station. It's just like, no, it's a Shell station. It's the same in, you know, Lahaina as it is in LA. It's a Shell station. But so, and you can do the same thing with stills. I mean, you can, same with you. So don't feel like you have to document everything. Just, you know, pick your battles. And again, if you're shooting video, you know, video is no good unless you edit it. Literally, video is no good unless you edit it. An unedited video presentation is, well, is hell, okay? it's like the worst thing in the world. It's it's like a speech that goes on for 4 hours. It's just horrible. So remember, any video that you shoot, you have to edit. And editing video, at least for me, is not necessarily a fun thing. So you know, if you really target your shooting, then that makes the editing process a lot better, which means that you'll probably do it, which means that you'll probably end up with a better product. So again, don't shoot everything. Choose your spots and then realize that, you know, you're going to have to edit that stuff later on. So then to answer the question, I'm going to answer the question. Can a photographer really take a vacation? Maybe. I would say for the most part, yes, but not totally. I just think for most of us, it's just not possible for us to take a total vacation because the minute a great shot presents itself and we don't have a camera with us, we're going to be thinking about that for the rest of the vacation and it's going to ruin it anyway. So here's what I say, you know, photographers can partially take a vacation. And I think the way that we can best enjoy it is to choose our spots, show some discipline when it comes to taking pictures, you know, help yourself by only bringing certain pieces of equipment with you. And make sure that you're respectful of the people that you're traveling with. And I think you'll have a great time and get some good pictures too. That's that's my story, and I'm sticking to it at least until the next time I get on a plane. Okay, a couple other things. Boy, it was just a weird, all sorts of weird things happened while I was gone. I had an email problem too, which I think was related to the break-in of the site, because they're all sort of hooked together. And so I was only able, I didn't have all the images from the photo assignment. So fortunately, a lot of you have sent your images in for the September assignment. But if you go to the September assignment quiet and you don't see your shot there and you know you sent one in, get it to me right away, because I'm going to run, and a lot of folks, I'm going to run the second half of the gallery now with the shots that people have resent me. And hopefully we won't have that problem again. But, you know, it was just one of those weeks where all the gremlins were out. So the photo assignment will run in two parts. And then now we're in a new month, so we have a new photo assignment. And this one is Whirlwind. And that can be, you know, Whirlwind is really things, you know, it could be a whirlwind vacation, you know, where you're just going from one spot to the next. People can be like whirlwinds where they're just, you know, always moving. Life can have this whirlwind feel to it where it's moving fast. So I think, you know, what we're looking for are things that are moving fast, things that, you know, are rushed, but not necessarily bad. Or it could just be a physical thing. It could just be something that's showing a lot of motion. So I think, you know, you have a lot of latitude with this one, and hopefully something will catch your eye and you'll have some fun with it. So you have till the end of November for Whirlwind. And in the meantime, I'll get the second half of the other gallery up. And then the other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to run a grab shot this week. And I've had a few come in, but I just always want to remind you about grab shots. And I also want to remind you about something that every now and then I just stumble across and go, oh my gosh, that looks so nice, which is the member gallery on the Digital Story. You know, there's a link up at the top. It's in the secondary nav bar for the member gallery. But those are shots that people have submitted to the Digital Story Flickr public group, and then they automatically run through our site. And if you haven't clicked on that member gallery link for a while, you should check it out, because it's pretty nice. There's a lot of good shots that go through there. I'm really proud of the work that these folks are doing. Okay, well, that's going to wrap it up for me this week. It's good to be back. It was a good vacation, at least half the time. And we'll get down to some more photography business next week. Until then, go out and take some pictures, but take a break from it too. All right, that's it. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.